Okay, let's open Acts chapter 2 once again. Acts chapter 2, and we are reading from verse 42 up to 47. And thus says the Lord, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray together. Our glorious and risen King, Jesus Christ, we thank you for having brought us here. Thank you for having lent us the breath of life, strength in our bodies, so that we could be here this morning to hear this word from you that is food for our souls. We stand in awe before you, O great King, and pray that you use us feeble and ignorant people to share your word to your saints faithfully without adding or reducing anything from it. Give us that grace, we plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we continue our series in the book of Acts that I enjoy myself calling at the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But you can see him at work from A to Z. These apostles did nothing without him. Yeah, so, you know, these are series. If you miss the previous lessons, there's no way I can try to repeat everything from the beginning. But you can find the teachings on sermon audio. Yeah, if you type sermon audio Reconciliation Baptist Church or sermon audio Bill Issa, you'll find them there. But where we've reached, now the church is now meeting. Let me just quickly remind you of what we've covered. We came to the book of Acts after finishing the gospel according to Matthew. And you remember how Matthew ended with the Great Commission. Yeah, he said, "You go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise." And now in Acts begins just where Matthew ended. We find them in the upper room in Jerusalem, fearful. They could not believe their master who performed miracles like that, being arrested and killed. And in chapter 2, verse 1, we see the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Fear was gone. And Peter preached. And you can see from this chapter 2, the attention when it comes to teaching the word of God, the attention goes from the general disciples to the disciples to the apostles. Because verse 14 tells us, but Peter standing with the 11, and yet they left the upper room 120. So the attention when it comes to the teaching of the word of God now was shifting to these apostles. Peter expounded the word very well, and to the point that the Spirit used that very word to break the stony hearts of some people among the group, the crowd. They came out themselves and asked, men and brethren, what should we do now? And they guided them on what to do. And our last session, we ended with verse 41, which reads, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. That's why we ended our previous series. So now, 120 has been added to it by 3,000 more souls. So this is a big congregation. And now, we want to continue seeing what now these people went doing together. And I named these other parts, activities of the early church, part one. Yeah, why I call it part one? Because I don't think I can cover really all these four activities today. And this is very important to us. As a church, let us pay close attention here and hear what those who went before us were doing. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So when you read these all these verses together from 42 up to 47, you realize that verse 42 serves as a thesis statement, just sort of a conclusion. I mean, it's a summary, sorry, a summary of all those other verses. Yeah, so in verse 42, the Spirit of God used Peter to just summarize what he was going to expound from verse 43 up to 47. Yeah, because we find four activities, major activities that they were doing whenever they met. Among them, they came so that they could hear the apostles' teaching, so that they could fellowship together, so that they could break the bread, and so that they could pray together. So now, when you, from verse 43 up to 47, you'll see now those four in detail. Yeah, there are two pairs. Apostles' teaching and fellowship. Breaking of bread and the prayers. The Lord willing, I'd like to cover the first pair today. Yeah, if I fail and just cover the apostles' teaching, then we'll cover the fellowship next Sunday, the Lord willing. So let's begin with the first one. They came to so that they could be exposed to the apostles' teaching. And verse 42 begins with this word, as God this word devoted, and they devoted themselves. What is to devote yourself or to something? It's not devotion, because you might think that, oh, this is it was devotion time. No. Other versions say that they continue steadfastly. So now, to devote means to give one's time, to focus one's efforts, to commit oneself entirely to something. Yeah, this is according to the English dictionary, the English dictionary, dictionary of English language. To give one's time to something, to focus one's efforts to something, and to commit oneself entirely to something. So steadfastly, for those other versions that use that word, steadfastly, this simply means in a steady manner. In a fixed, steady, or unchanging manner. Exactly. Not today it is this and tomorrow that. Today you are this, tomorrow you are that. Like a chameleon. No, these were not like that. They were doing everything steadily, without changing. So they devoted themselves to what? One, to the apostles' teaching. And many scholars have been, thinking of what that could be. What's the apostles' teaching? Other versions say apostles' creed. They are the same thing. It's the same thing. What's that? We need to first ask ourselves some questions. Who are these apostles at the first place? And who had given them these doctrines or teaching that they were sharing with others? They did not go to any theological seminary like some of us. And scripture informs us that these apostles were the disciples of a man called Jesus during his 3-year ministry. And it also that he is the one who taught them these things. These were mere fishermen, tax collectors, and doing this and that. A man called Jesus invited them And he started teaching them. He taught them many things that they are now also passing on to others. Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Everyone knew it in Israel. So now, we're still trying to go deep, trying to understand what was the apostles' teaching. So if they were teaching what Christ taught them, that means the apostles' teaching is Christ's teaching. The apostles' doctrine is Christ's doctrine. You want to know what the apostles taught? Go and check what Jesus Christ taught. And you will be amazed to see that even after the ascension of their master, they continue teaching just the same things. They did not bring anything new. Just let me just remind you quickly of a few things that Christ taught. Christ taught repentance. In Matthew 4, you find how he began his ministry with the words, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus Christ taught the repentance of sin. Jesus Christ taught love. Remember, before he left, when he was still with them, he told them that I'm about to leave you, my friends, but I'm going to send to you that promise, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to lead you on everything that I taught you. He's going to remind you of everything that I taught you. Let's read Matthew 16 and see something there. John. John 16, 12 up to 15. John 16, John the Gospel. Verses 12 up to 15 reads, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So you hear, you see, these are some of the words of Jesus Christ when he was still with them. That I cannot tell you everything. I have a lot to tell you. But what I've told you, when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of all of them. And he's going to add more that I did not tell you. But everything he's going to tell you will be about me. So we are trying to understand what is the apostles' doctrine. It is the gospel. And we normally ask people, what is the gospel? Yeah, before you become a member of this church, you go through an interview and we have such questions. What's the gospel according to you? And I normally hear people say, the gospel is the good news about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. That's very true. The gospel is only about Jesus. But at seminary, they opened another door of my understanding. The gospel of Jesus Christ also cannot leave sin, the fall aside. Yes, the fall is part of the gospel of Jesus. Sin. Where is redemption if there is no sin? So that's what the apostles were teaching. Let's check what they said again in Acts chapter 4, 19 and 20. These very apostles, in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And here they were, Peter and John were before the council. They're asking them, why? What, in which power did you do this? After healing that crippled guy at the gate of the temple. So listen, verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. 20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. So you see what they say here. We can only speak of what we saw and heard. Yeah, because scripture here does not elaborate, does not explain what was the apostles' doctrine. But you know, one of the principles of biblical interpretation is that scripture interprets scripture. So they were ready to tell people of what they had seen and heard. Period. Not what we are hearing in churches today. What is the apostles' teaching? You find it just a few paragraphs behind us, behind the text where we are. Yes, when we go back to the sermon, powerful sermon of Peter. In verse 22, Peter said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God. Kakasiwa. With mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So you see, Peter, the apostles are teaching the foreknowledge of God. The predestination. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. He is preaching crucifixion. So I'm not breaking to you what the apostles teaching or doctrine. 24. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death. Because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He's preaching the resurrection. Let's jump to verse 30, 31. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. That he was not abandoned to Hades. Nor did his flesh see corruption like your father David. Thirdly, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. 33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So you see, Peter is preaching the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the ascension of Jesus. And do you think that now, when they were together with the others, they could preach other things? No. They were just remembering, and this spirit that their masters had promised is there now with them. Is reminding them of everything that their Lord had taught them. In Matthew chapter 5, the master taught about the Beatitudes, blessed are. And what did he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So these are the things that they taught, and we need to teach. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Listen to this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this is the doctrine of Christ, which handed down to his disciples. And the disciples handed them down to us. What is being preached in churches today? We have other seven beatitudes, blessed are the rich, for they will be respected. Blessed are the healthy, because they'll be called the sons of God. I'm not kidding. Someone told me like that. Yeah, I normally fall down with malaria, typhoid. And a fellow pastor told me, but you are a pastor, Pastor Mulamba, an old pastor. And you keep falling sick like this. Why don't you deny it? Because children of God, really, we are redeemed by Jesus. So you see, because I fall sick now, I was not redeemed. I'm not the son of God. So that is, blessed are the healthy, those who are not sick, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who go all over the world. They fly every time You'll find that nowhere in Scripture the doctrines of the devil. Blessed are those who speak in tongues. Where do you find it here? Jesus is even preaching suffering, persecution. These days I heard a pastor of one big church in this city say that no poor person will go to heaven. You need to be rich. You don't need to suffer. Why? Because he's already suffered for us. Jesus is talking of blessed are you who are persecuted. Let's go to John 13 and you hear another doctrine of Jesus, which is the doctrine of the apostles. John 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Christ taught love. Not you loving me because I have money. Because you can tell me, Pastor Bill, but in all these churches, there is love. Are you sure? The churches where if you don't drive, you'll be given a seat behind. And if tomorrow you buy a vehicle, you cannot sit behind again. An usher will come and bring you forward. They love you for what you are. Jesus is talking of genuine love. Love each other just the way I loved you. I cannot go deep, because if I want to continue, then this alone can take 1 hour, because I have written a whole research paper on those words there. It's amazing to see this new command. Why does he call it new? People used to love one another. The only thing that is making this one new today, it is these magic words here. Just as I loved you. Before that, you could hear, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus Christ is moving that love to another level. Just as I loved you. Let's go to the next chapter, 15:13. John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. This is the new command he gave to them. Love one another to that level of giving your own life for others. Members of RBC, you still fail to just share what you have with your brothers and sisters who need. Will you manage to even share your own life for her or for him? And these are some of the passages that really make my heart melt. Greater love has no one than this. You cannot find it anywhere. That someone lays down his life for his friends. And 14 says, and you are my friends if you do what I command you. So he taught them many things. Many things. And in verse 16 he told them, I cannot finish everything because I'm soon going back. But when Paracletos comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will remind you of everything I taught you and add on what I did not tell you. Now, when you come back now to the apostles, let us also check what they were teaching after their master. Fear is gone. These guys are more zealous than I don't know what. And Peter and John are going to the temple. Back to Acts. Chapter 4. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if you are being examined today, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. You, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And listen to this, that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. These are the teachings of the apostles. They are teaching, they don't fear jail. No, they don't fear jail. They don't fear anything. They stand before big men who can decide their death anytime. But after telling them on which power this crippled man is walking, then they continue talking about their master. It is that Jesus that you crucified, that you rejected. It has become a cornerstone. And salvation is found in him and him alone. Let's check the beloved apostle, John. It began with in John 1:1. Yeah, if you want, you can go there, but this is one of the passages that Christians have at mind. For God so loved the world, you can recite it. So that he gave his own and only begotten Son. that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what they were teaching all of them, the love of the Father. How he loved us and gave his only begotten Son. They taught sin. Let's check 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 there. The beloved disciple says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. He's teaching his little children about sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I told and always tell you that how I was stopped in between, in the middle of my sermon in Nairobi because I was teaching sin. And many churches worldwide don't want to hear you preach about sin. They are putting it among the negative speech. It's negative. It's not out of love when you are blaming people of their sins. And churches, many of them, 80% of churches in Uganda, they preach to encourage you, to entertain you. That's why every time they keep clapping. If a preacher spoke the way Peter spoke the other day, that this Jesus that you crucified, how can you clap? You can't. If I told you that, brother, I hear that you are walking in fornication, you, how can you clap? I remember Brother Adam Umaga from Nigeria. I love that brother. Yeah, well, he came with, I think, Brother... No, it was not Brother Nico. He came with Pastor Arving. He's preaching the word of God and you want to start clapping? Adam Maga? He stops and asks you, why are you clapping? Because I'm talking of serious matters here about death and life. You are clapping? Are we in Nambole Stadium watching Uganda Cranes versus Rwanda? No. We are not in Nambole. Yeah, so we are talking about the doctrines of Christ, which was handed down to the apostles. 1 John 3:18, he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You just hear the same tone of their master. Chapter 5:21, still the same letter. He says, 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. I'm trying to show you what these people were teaching. These are the all together from their doctrine. Keep yourself from idols. You might say, I'm not a Roman Catholic believer, so I don't worship idols. Keep yourself away from the idol of WhatsApp and Messenger and YouTube and whatever. the idols of your jobs, of your boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, children, and husband. Back to our text. 242, Acts. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. I think you've understood something on the apostles' teaching. And fellowship. Yes, I want to enter the fellowship, but I can't finish fellowship today. I just want to help you understand that these four have not been listed according to their importance. Don't think it like that. So that you think that prayer is the least, is the last one. No. What is fellowship? For us to understand what this word truly means, we must strive to understand the Greek word that was used there. The term that Luke uses for fellowship in our text is a much broader term than the English word used. Fellowship does not really bring it out well. Fellowship is an attempted translation of the fascinating Greek word koinonia. For which we have no English equivalent. So koinonia has got many meanings. Among them, the fellowship that we use here, association, community, communion, joint participation, intimate sharing something with another. Yeah, those are some of the meanings of koinonia. That very word koinonia is translated contribution in Romans 15:26. Yeah, when Paul was asking people to contribute for the church, for other brethren, so they use the same word koinonia. It is translated communion in 2 Corinthians 6:14. To have communion with the Holy Spirit. So it's like just as if you are one thing with the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2:1, that very time koinonia is used concerning a common sharing in the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 3:10, Philippi, and 1 Peter 4:13, that word koinonia is used concerning sharing in Christ's sufferings. And in Galatians 2:9, it is used with the idea of a sharing together in ministry. So one can fellowship with fellow believers in a number of ways. Because, you know, people don't understand really what fellowship means. Someone even in Kigali told us, just when we were in Kigali, that, you know, when people come to church, they don't fellowship because they just sit there following the preaching and teaching. Not until they have some free time when they can interact with their brother and sister, so that's when they are fellowshipping. But when I was going deep trying to understand what fellowship means, it's far more than that. Yeah, so you can fellowship in a number of ways, including the partaking of meals and engaging in prayer together. Yeah, so koinonia is as more than just coming together, being together. Let us look at some ways that bring about or boost fellowship in the church. Now let me first pause here a bit and we look into our churches and see the things that bring people together every Sunday together. With the first biblical church that the Holy Spirit planted, whenever they came together, they came to hear from the apostles, to have fellowship together, to break the bread, and to pray together. Look into our churches today. They come to entertain themselves with choirs, praise and worship teams. Where is the choir here? Ask yourself before you throw a stone on me. Where is a choir here? Where is even a praise and worship team that would stand to go for in front to entertain others? Where is it? Very simple activities. Others, you know, people have created things and put them inside them inside church. Yeah, you know, you need to devise means on how to share the gospel to others, so they bring skits inside church. Short plays. And that's why they meet from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And from 10 a.m. to 3, the word has been given 15 or 20 minutes. Then ask yourself, what are they doing all these hours? Testimonies. Who gave one here? It was only the apostles in front teaching them. As Peter said, teaching them of what they saw and heard from their master. Testimony has become testimony in our churches. They take you to Hebrews. They overcame him with the word of their testimony. Which testimony was that? The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of how he gave his life for us. Not used to stand here and tell us how God blessed you with a car. We don't need that. Should you not thank him? You should. I also thank him whenever he gives me this and that. But you don't need to make it a program of a worship service. Okay, only 10 people to come and testify here. Only 10. And some turn those testimonies in two sermons. No, let's go back. Let's be realistic and check what those who went before us were doing. You start playing skits there, how Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and how in church people are playing and music is playing somewhere behind there. Oh, my friends. This thing really, by the time we end it, would have learned a lot of things. You can see that it's because of the four activities why all fear came into them all. Yeah, so we'll come to that. All came because of really what they had done, what Peter told them about Jesus. What really, you cannot come to God with the spirit of entertainment. Yeah, they try to bring other verses. See, what about these verses? I say, no, let's go down, let's examine them in context. Some ways that bring about or boost fellowship in the church. Number one, fellowship happens through togetherness. Togetherness, love, and care. We find that in verse 44 that reads, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Yeah, 44. There is. Okay, these people were together. Greek literally and simply means, interpreted as, they were in the same place. There is a very simple principle here that Christians need each other. They need each other. They need to be together. They need to be together. How can we encourage each other? Love each other. Care for one another. If we are separated. Not only being together on WhatsApp, Facebook, YouTube, and Skype. The togetherness here is more than this. You need to be together. Physical togetherness is very important. Unless you can't afford it. But if you can, please come and be with your brethren. Okay, you say, you know, Pastor, I've spent 4 weeks without coming to church because I come from far. It doesn't work like that. Two things have to be done. Either you look for transport to be coming, or you look for a closer biblical church and join it. Period. Yes. Look for a biblical church near you and join it so that you can be going there regularly and you have that togetherness with the other saints. But the things of, no, I'm not coming, I'm not being with you because of transport. No, that we cannot entertain that. Not watching TV preachers. Yeah, because one can tell you, you know, Pastor, I did not come these last 3 weeks because, but I've been watching sermons on YouTube, on what, so I've been watching even Paul Washer, John MacArthur. No! You can watch them on Monday, Tuesday, Friday. It's okay, we all watch them. We are talking of these things that boost fellowship among them. Let's check what Hebrews says here. Hebrews on that point. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So you see, just interpret. He says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love." So you see that when we come together, we stir up our each other's love. Just like if you leave one firewood alone, it's going to go down. But if you put other firewoods, you know, we are Africans, we understand this very well. You keep pushing these firewoods to light others. Yeah, also here in Hebrew, they're telling us that we have to consider, it's very important, how to stir up one another to love and good works. You can't do that well on WhatsApp. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is drawing near. Along with their being together, the people were united. Because you can be coming every single day and we are together, but you are not united with us. We need to come into that togetherness, but also be united. Their unity is expressed by having all things in common. Common here is referring to things which had several people as partakers. You just see, chino change, chafefena. This is for all of us. So don't just simply come together, but be united. And friends, this is serious. You want to be a member of RBC, and you feel your heart is not really here, we'll plead with you to look for where you'll be happy. Where you come and you don't want to interact with your brothers and sisters, you're just yourself in a cocoon there, in a corner. You'll be breaking the spirit of fellowship at RBC that the Lord has been giving to us. We'd rather remain four who are enjoying the real fellowship as we are learning. Your brothers and sisters don't know your teeth, whether they are white or green. No! We don't need such brothers and sisters here, to be sincere. Talk with everyone, laugh with everyone. So, about the coming, Pastor said, we need to keep coming. Okay, I'll be looking for that transport, but be united with us as well. That unity is expressed on how they were having all things in common. And verse 45 explains it better. And you'll allow me to just read 45 and I end there. We'll continue. I'm not even close to ending fellowship, but we'll continue with it next Sunday, the Lord willing. Yeah, verse 45 explains that unity better. Let's read 45 down there. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So now, that's why I told you that verse 42 up to 43 up to 47 are just like a practical part of what is said in verse 42. So in 42, you find fellowship in theory. In 45, you find theory, fellowship in practice. So in other words, you can't fellowship with your brethren simply because you are always with them. But also in how you share what the Lord has blessed you with them. Because, you see, even as we go to our third point, which is the breaking of bread, you see that they intermingle. You see fellowship in the breaking of the bread. You see fellowship in prayer. In other words, if you are always coming to RBC, you don't miss any of our programs. But you are not united with us. We get united by doing whatever we do together for Christ. By mopping this church. I find Elder David mop here and the rest of us are there. Brother, God bless you. No one is big here. We need to mop together. We clean those chairs together. Then, beyond doing these things together, then we need to stand in each other's gap, need. Should you see your brother, your sister with a torn dress or trouser? Let fellowship play its role. Yeah, all those are areas of fellowship, not simply coming. These brothers and sisters could sell their possessions. These possessions that these days are small gods. God forbid. How can I sell again a plot of land that the Lord has blessed me? It was a miracle to get that. These were selling then for others. Okay, we'll come by the time we end this passage here. I'll be showing you the things that you should not follow from this. Huh? Because this, the church, you can see that some of the things did not continue. Yeah, some of the things did not continue because I'll be showing you, because here you say that daily they could come together. Daily. So if you want to apply that the way it is, then you are going to abandon your job. And every day you come to RBC, they will chase you there and we will not have money to pay your rent. Yeah, I know a couple, husband and wife, in one of the church near where we stay, who left all the activities. Because of this passage, they went with a few bed sheets and clothes to the church. They sleep there. The God told them they should be there full time, just like these first believers, to be serving the church, mopping and weeding and do everything at church. Yeah, so there's also the way you can misinterpret this early church. I'll bring that towards the end of this part. But friends, I think already we are only halfway of these four activities. But I think you can already see the huge difference between the churches of today that you call powerful church under revival with the church in the Bible. Churches that have CEOs. When the pastor enters, you have to stop all whatever you've been doing, stand up and start clapping until he sits. What? Just check this. This is challenging. But when you come to such churches that are trying to follow what these were doing, you say those are cults. A brother or a sister here, I can't remember, invited a friend here. Wow, at the end of the service, that brother or sister over there was on fire. Why did you bring me to such a, is this a church as well? You don't dance, you stand with books, is this a church? Why did you bring me here? You've wasted my time. Yeah, this is what Uganda is going through. Dens of robbers, that's what they call churches. Churches are cults. Churches they call cults. May the Lord have mercy on us. Please pray that the Spirit of Christ will help you to boost your fellowship with other saints. And endeavor to be the togetherness. Let us keep it high. So that we keep stirring up one another in love and good works. The Lord willing, next Sunday we'll begin. I think I'll be having two or three more Sundays to finish this. Because I don't want to rush. I want us really to understand well the things here. So the things of, as I end, the things of choirs, kakuti on the side, the things of praise and worship teams, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. They came from the brains of men. The things of testimonies. Auntie, I'm testifying for Christ. Nowhere in the Bible. They misinterpret scripture. May the Lord give us grace to continue trying to conform ourselves to the pattern of scripture. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the words that you enable our ears to be hearing every Sunday in this church. We are not any better than those who even right now are hearing fables and vain stories of how someone went to America, how they built a storied building. And they called that sermon. We would also be in one of those churches. But we being here, Lord, we don't know how it came about. You loved us and just dragged us from those churches to here. We thank you. We are just humbled. We can't boast over anything because we did not bring ourselves here. You brought us by your grace and mercy. Bring others, Lord, who are many, many wasting time in those dens of robbers that we call churches today. Bring them to churches all over the world. You have some remnant of churches, remnant of believers who are having true fellowship together. Oh Lord, save your people in Uganda. Bless us together. Help us stir each other up in love and good works for your own glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.